Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Suderstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, July 24th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Oh, Friday day it is, and I'm just happy that gold is up $8 right now. You know, it was a lot of pressure again today. However, I was talking to Greg Hunter. I sent him an email, and I says, you know, gold's going to be up on Friday. I woke up this morning. The first thing I did is I checked the markets, and they were all down. I thought, well, there goes my prediction. But somebody was, you know, turned it around for me. So we have gold up 810 today for 1099. We were over 1100 briefly, and we did have a low of a 1077. Silver also was higher, but we're looking at 1476 right now, down one penny. Platinum is up 8 at 989. Palladium up 6 at $626. USDX today is up 0.07 at 97.28. Crude oil down 33 at 48.12. And the paper markets, again, a lot of pressure on the paper markets. Let's go to those prices. And basically, you know, these markets are down, you know, 400 points, almost 500 points this week. You have the Dow down 162, 17,569. The NASDAQ was down 157. That was 1%, down 57 points at 5,088. Sometimes I'm reading faster than what I'm saying. Anyway, they have the S&P down 22 at 2,079. 10-year yield 0.01 at 2.27. Euro is still 110. And you know, all the European markets and Asian markets were down overnight. And it looks like we're getting a little more fear coming back into the markets. And I guess it doesn't take a lot anymore to create a little fear so the have some sort of an excuse for the markets to go down, right, Al?
Well, you know, everybody should be sitting on, I think, tender hooks was a term they used probably 50 or 100 years ago. I mean, everybody's kind of sitting on edge here. Everyone, you can't, it's hard to turn around and find anyone, it's hard to find someone who's optimistic that the economy is on an upswing. I mean, you get occasional people, oh, yeah, things are going to turn out great. But mostly we regard that as propaganda. And most of the people who are talking are saying, oh my gosh, the sky is about to fall. And it's hard to pick out where the truth is likely to be. Again, the worst case scenario is also the least likely scenario, right, just by definition. But most people are sitting here on edge, and that means a little bit of bad news can inspire, you know, can set off a certain amount of fear and panic. So we sit and we wait, you know, waiting for the other shoe to drop. It's like a murder mystery or something like that. We know it's too early in the drama. They're not done. All right. Whoever the villain is, he's going to whack a few more before this whole thing is over. So here we are.
And there's so much information out there. There's so many opinions out there. And that makes it even a little more difficult for people to make decisions when it comes to their finances. And just recently I had someone, it was just last night and this morning, well, are we going to have inflation or deflation? What's it going to do? Do I need cash? Do I need gold? What do I do? And this is what the problem when you don't focus on the fundamentals of something. And, you know, gold will perform in either market. And you focus, and there's people who just bring it to that attention just for one reason or another. And I don't mean you, Al. But usually it's for an agenda. And it's interesting to know the differences between inflation and deflation. But don't make your investment decisions based on one or the other. You have to look at the big picture. You have to understand what goes on with the fiat currency. You have to understand where we're headed as a country in the future, where we're headed and what's going to happen. And I think in either market, whether it's inflation, deflation, a combination of both, certainly gold will be your best asset at that point in time. I believe the government needs, wants inflation, and I'm not going to do that. You know, I don't want to talk about that again because you've heard it enough times, but I do believe that's the direction we'll be heading. We're going to get both in the future. I mean, really, we're going to get both, and I think
one of the things about it is when you stop to think about inflation and deflation, they are relatively new topics. I've seen research that indicates that the price of a lot of products were basically the same from 1800 to 1900. Right? It didn't vary very much. It didn't begin to vary. Inflation and deflation are both a function of fiat currency. Mm-hmm. All right?
True.
Now, so if you want to choose, well, which one is it going to be, inflation or deflation? Well, you're looking at a little bit of a good cop, bad cop sort of situation here where, look, what is the fundamental? Fundamental is we have a fiat currency. There's the fundamental. And either when the fiat currency may be inflated, it may be deflated. We'll watch and see. But the question is, and the danger flows from the fiat currency. And that indicates to me, you know, I mean, you can draw your own conclusions, but it seems rational to me to sit back and say, look, if fiat currency is the problem, what's the solution?
Exactly.
And the solution has to be something other than a piece of paper. From my perspective, the ultimate solution's got to be something like gold or silver, something tangible. All right? If fiat currency is the problem, what is the antidote for fiat currency? No matter which way it goes, you know, these fiat currencies only last so long. They have a relatively short lifespan, less than an average man. And our fiat currency is pushing the limit, at least the average limit. And so what do? Well, you place your bet. You know, unless you have the gift of prophecy, none of us know exactly what the best solution is at any given moment. But you have the capacity to look and see and say, fiat currency is the source of the problem. Maybe I want to get away from fiat currency.
I just want to bring a little report. I get lots of articles from lots of people. Half of them I read through and information we already know and so forth. But this group, National Inflation Association, you know, they came out with something. It's like, yeah, you know what, that's pretty interesting, and I wanted to share it with you all. Between January 1970 and December 1974, gold rose 456% from $35 per ounce to $195, which was followed by a 47% decline to a low in August. And afterwards, gold rose 721% to a high. Between April 2001 and September 2011, gold rose 630% from $259 to a high of $1,895 per ounce. Since gold's peak, it has declined by 43% to a
You mean the 2011 peak?
Correct.
Okay.
It has declined by 43% to, and this was done when gold was at 1,078. I believe this was Thursday when this was done. So just like in the 70s, gold has been experiencing a medium-term decline as part of a secular bull market. They go on and they talk about what happened when gold hit 1895. There were just too many people that were bullish on gold and for gold to actually rise to 2000 and beyond. We needed to see a return. We needed to see some sort of a decline that cleans out the market. And it turned everybody into a bear. And then you have these reports of recent, whether you believe them or not, you know, with China's announcement, not enough, you know, they didn't, that report disappointed many of those that were holding gold, and they expected China to announce an even larger increase than it did. And, you know, they're actually talking about it triggering thinking that if China was to announce a larger increase than it did, it would have triggered a massive gold rally. Well, that didn't happen. Now, whether, you know, the reports about that are true or false, that's not the point. So I think it's interesting. They go in and they talk about, during gold's 74 to 76 decline of 47%, it actually had two false bottoms. Before true capitulation occurred with gold, which it eventually bottomed at 103. And then during gold's current decline of 43%, we have already experienced two false bottoms, one June of 2013 and November of 2014. And the fact that these two bottoms didn't hold, you know, it certainly has frustrated, I know, most of my customers, many of the listeners and myself included. A lot of the paper traders are selling at these low bottoms. So if we have a repeat of history, we could ultimately see gold settle at a lower price down from the medium-term peak, followed by a 720% gain from its medium-term bottom. And again, they're using a little bit of history repeats itself in these markets, but it certainly does seem to be following the same pattern. And if we looked at that 720% increase, you're looking at an $8,000 price in gold. So I thought that was interesting to see the comparisons of these other markets and the same thing. It's really following almost identically. So,
yeah, it's, you know, there's nothing new under the sun.
No, not at all.
All right, but what you get is...
But you know what? It's sort of a little bit refreshing because you hear all the same stories. You hear all the same, you know, reports about China and about this, and this is going to happen at this time and this date, and oh, there's deflation coming from Harry Dent, and there's this going on, and I just thought this was a great little reminder of when we look at, and you have these trends, and you have these markets that do seem to repeat themselves.
Well, I agree with you. You just have to sit back. There's only so many moves on the board.
Mm-hmm.
There's only so many things that can happen.
Mm-hmm.
But at any given moment, you can be distracted by the possibilities and you can miss out on fundamentals and limits. And we all do. We're all subject to that. And we're all sitting here and still wondering. But the lesson from the report you're just reading is that we've been through this before.
Mm-hmm.
And those who stuck with the gold are, you know, they were happy campers. when things started to move back up again, and arguably we're going to be happy campers again, and probably and perhaps not so long from now, but we'll watch and see. It's survivable.
Yes.
Yeah?
And demand for gold, I mean, we're looking at 143 ounces of gold were sold by the U.S. Mint. A week ago it was 101, I believe. And so, you know, there's some big moves going on in the gold market. People are buying. We really don't know what the figure is for Silver Eagle since the U.S. Mint, you know, withheld the selling for 3 weeks. But it was on pace to beat a new record for a monthly sales of Silver Eagles. Demand is there, but you know, it just hasn't been able to push these prices higher. But
well, you've got people, you know,
I know,
high probability that the markets are manipulated, high probability that the you know, the prices do not react simply to questions of supply and demand. Markets are reacting, and sometimes appears to be reacting because government says, nope, we don't want that price going up. And one way or another, they are able to suppress prices in order to maintain an illusion. But, you know, our bet, if that's particularly, if that's true, we've talked about it before, but if their market is manipulated, that's only cause for celebration. It's frustrating, but it's still cause for celebration if you agree that the manipulation can't continue forever. The manipulation has to fail, and when it does, again, there's that analogy of holding that ball down underwater in a swimming pool, that beach ball, and when they stop holding it down, it's going to go shooting up to the surface and above the surface, at least for a little while. So the one good thing about manipulation, if manipulation is really taking place, and if you believe that it has to ultimately fail and we have to return to something like a free market rather than a manipulated market, where we see true prices rather than politically correct prices, then it's safe to bet on gold. It's safe to invest in. Sooner or later, the beach ball is going to break loose. The only problem is we don't know when. And the other problem is people have a short-term investment perspective. We think in terms of investments. We tend to think in terms, well, we tend to speculate rather than invest, which means we get into things on a short-term basis. Gold is really, from my perspective, it's an investment rather than something you speculate in. We'll see some ups, we'll see some downs. But you hang on anyway because ultimately, it has to go higher, and the reason it had two reasons it has to go higher. One, the price has been manipulated, if that's true. And two, what we're really talking about is not just whether gold is going higher, but whether the dollar is going lower. Are we going to see more inflation? We're either going to see more inflation or we're going to see the dollar die. Can't be afforded without inflation. I mean, we'll see a brand new currency. I saw there was a report out just in the last few days where one outfit has calculated that the government is planning that the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, on October 20th, allegedly, they're going to release information where they're going to set up an alternative to the U.S. dollar as world reserve currency. According to the report, it'll probably be based on special drawing rights issued by the International Monetary Fund. Well, if that happens, and I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't know. I'm just saying it's a report, a calculation, a report from a source that we could rely on. If it happens that an alternative currency is launched at that time, the dollar's perceived value right now is fundamentally based on its role as world reserve currency and petrol currency. Well, if they set up a new alternative currency, and they specifically said that the special drawing rights could set the price for oil, for example. Well, if that price is set, they set the price of oil with special drawing rights, the dollar is no longer going to be needed overseas. People are going to be able to buy oil with special drawing rights rather than or at least in addition to dollars. The dollar's value is based on the overseas perception of what the dollar is, that is the petrol currency, world reserve currency. If a new currency comes out, dollar loses those two statuses, or they are at least diminished. And insofar as they are, result is inflation. Prices go up. Yeah, that's the implication. Now, are we really going to see a new currency come out on October 20th? Don't know. Let's take a break for some commercial announcements, and Melody and I will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
I want to encourage the listeners to check out our website at dgscoins.com. That is dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And I'll have that little bit of a report in there from that company, NIA, and it's pretty interesting. It's quite lengthy, and it shows all the charts and graphs and everything that we can't do on the program. But make sure you sign up for the newsletter that will come out on Monday. We got some great prices. Silver Eagles, the delay on them got a little bit longer. They're available. We can lock in prices. But the delay is, and I think what is happening is, I'm not so sure if the delay is actually coming from the U.S. Mint, but I think everybody has so many boxes of silver eagles that will need to be shipped once the U.S. Mint begins releasing them. I mean, it takes time to process it, so that probably added on a week for processing and so forth. But all of those that you have orders in, you're all processed through shipping, and we're just waiting for the product to get in, so you'll be shipped appropriately. So, and that's one thing I do is I always make sure everything is processed through shipping, and that way you're at the top of the list, because I'm sure there's a lot of dealers out there that wait, you know, until they're ready to be shipped, and then they'll process them, and we just do things a little bit differently here. And also, someone told me about someone out there selling 1/10 ounce American Gold Eagles for $200, and they said it was a couple percent over anybody else. And I told her, I says, what's more than a couple percent? It's more like 60%. So, you know, folks, be careful out there. It doesn't matter who it is. Make sure you shop your prices. I mean, if it's close, that's okay. If you want to support one or the other, I understand that. But really, to be paying that type of percentage increase on someone that has a powerful presence and makes you feel at ease and thinks that you're getting a really good product. And those were on Canadian maple leaves, I believe it was. Yeah, that's what she told me. It's Canadian maple leaves. So just be careful out there, and we'd be more than happy to help you here at Discount Gold and Silver. During the breakout, we were talking about there's been a landmark deal to slash tariffs on tech products. Major trade powers are going to cut tariffs on around 200 technology products. And the World Trade Organization says 49 of its members, including the United Nations, China, and the 28-country European Union, reached a tentative accord that caps 3 years of talks. 3 years this has been going on. The products on which import duties will be scrapped under Friday's deal includes GPS navigation equipment, medical scanners, and new generation semiconductors. This deal, which will be finalized by December, expands the scope of the 1996 Information Technology Agreement involving the 81 countries. This landmark agreement covers trade and products valued at $1.3 trillion a year, or some 7% of global trade. And that's huge, Al.
Well, I agree. And it can't be good for the United States. Well, it depends on your perspective. It means the prices for these electronic devices are will fall, because the competition is going to be turned loose. And if you're going to buy a new GPS locator, for example, you're going to get a better price first quarter of next year.
Maybe. Right?
It'll probably be as early as you can expect to see it, but you're going to see better, cheaper prices on this. But the flip side is, when we get rid of the tariffs, we're also going to get rid of whatever industries remain in the United States that manufacture these devices. And when we get rid of those companies and those corporations, and people say, yay, I can get my stuff cheaper. Okay, that's a good thing. You can get your stuff cheaper. But there are people that used to work in those corporations that manufactured some of those devices, and they won't have jobs anymore. Now, that's not, you know, in a sense, we can't break out the violin and start crying for these people. But when those corporations and those factories and those industries disappear from this country, over a period of time, the people of the American people lose the skill set required to make these devices. You give us 10 years of cheap electronic devices coming from China or India or someplace in the third world, and we say, yay, it's cheap. Yeah, but who is going to have enough brains to say, if someone does come up and says, I want to start a new factory and we're going to manufacture these electronic devices, and now all I have to do is find the help to do it? Well, after 10 years of factories being removed thanks to low tariffs, we're going to have a hard time finding employees that already understand some of the fundamentals to make these new technological devices. And there's a loss here that people don't want to consider. Most people just say, I got it cheap. That's all I care about. It didn't cost me much, so it's good for me. Hooray. But there's a loss to this country when we lose the productive capacity to make our own devices. We need that productive capacity, and when we're giving it away, it's not helping us. We fall for the idea of cheap prices. That's wonderful. Yay, cheap prices. But ultimately, it's bad for the American people. It's going to be bad for employment, bad for business, you know.
The way I see it, I mean, certainly there's only three products that are listed, and there was 200 that will be affected. But when you look at the GPS navigation equipment, most of that equipment is installed in vehicles. So the ones that would be able to purchase these at a lower price are going to be your automobile manufacturers. And do you really believe they're going to pass the cost on to the consumer buying that automobile? No. But their bottom line will be bigger, because maybe next year they're going to need to have a little bit more revenue coming in because of possible things that we'll experience here. In the same way with medical scanners, you really believe your insurance costs are going to go down because all of these hospitals and medical centers can purchase these medical scanners at a lower cost? No. New generation semiconductors, I don't have a clue what that is, so it can't be good for me, and so I'm not going to be saving any money on it. So the ones that really benefit for this are going to be the multinational corporations. We'll continue. We'll get smaller products, or, the service agreements will go up or whatever, and, maybe they might give us a lower price on one little item to make us feel good so we continue to go out and purchase things. So, what's next, Al?
I don't know. I've got something here. Here's a headline from the Washington Times. It says FBI sees 53% jump in foreign spies trying to steal U.S. trade secrets. All right. Federal Bureau of Investigations identified a 53% increase in the number of hostile intelligence agents who've been attempting to steal U.S. trade secrets since this time last year. Big jump in 1 year's time. They blame it in part the increased cases of economic espionage are tied tightly to international transient trends. Meaning, lots of people are coming to this country from foreign countries, and they're just coming here to do things that aren't good for us. Right? That aren't going to help this country. There are some people that are coming to be spies. They are, in some regards, the least of our problems, but we can also, this is not all that, I won't even say the least of our problems, but this is similar to the problem with the illegal aliens. All right? Got people coming into this country not for good reasons, not for reasons that help this country. Here's another headline from the Washington Times. It says, official, China stock crash is U.S. economic warfare. That's the headline. Last month's stock market crash in China was without any doubt an economic war, an act of economic war against China covertly waged by the United States with a direct objective of subverting the ruling Communist Party. And this is according to the most powerful leader of China's massive state-owned corporate enterprises. And he says anybody who doesn't believe this is definitely a traitor. He's speaking in China, of course. His name is Mr. Lin. His company has been aggressively marching into the U.S. aerospace industry. In March 2011, AVIC bought the Minnesota-based Cirrus aircraft for a reported $210 million. Cirrus, now 100% owned by the Chinese government, is the world's second largest single-engine general aviation aircraft maker after Cessna. All right? Second largest after Cessna is now bought, working here in the United States, but it's 100% owned by the Chinese government. And the point here is China doesn't need to sneak people in to steal our technology. They're in a position to come in and just buy the tech corporations that are using technology. All right? They don't need spies. They have they need dollars. They need, and how did they get the dollars? Well, our government thought it was a wonderful idea to send our factories to China, and we would work up a huge trade deficit. We wouldn't manufacture things to give to China. We just con China into collecting dollars and not redeeming them here in the United States. Well, now China's sitting on, $1.2 trillion or whatever in in U.S. dollars, and they're, what are they going to do with them? Those dollars are inevitably coming back, coming home to roost. And when they do, they'll come back and they will buy corporations, in some instances, that have technological secrets that other nations have to send in spies to get. And China says, no, we don't need any spies. We'll just buy the corporation. Once we do, we have access to all the records. Here's another one. Washington Times. Donald Trump at Texas border warns of tremendous danger from illegal aliens. Again, it's this issue of people coming into this country, products going out of this country, industries going out of this country, people coming in that are not necessarily going to do us any good. Donald Trump brought his hard-changing campaign against illegal immigration to the U.S.-Mexican border on Thursday, warning of great danger from a flood of migrants. He was greeted upon arrival with a mass of onlookers at the Laredo airport. The opponents chanted "Fuera," which were telling him to get out. A one supporter held a sign that read "No era insulta," meaning Trump's controversial comments about Mexico sending rapists and other criminals to the U.S. shouldn't be taken as an insult. My comment is, there's trouble here insofar as these demonstrators are demonstrating in Spanish rather than English. Once again, we're doing what we can to help foreigners come into this country, and we're not protecting the people that are already here. We didn't protect people that were already here when we shipped our factories to foreign countries, knocked our tariffs down. We aren't protecting the people who live here by simply mandating, look, if you want to move into this country, plan on learning to speak English. Insofar as we allow people to enter this country, and not just enter it legally, but enter it illegally, and they don't have to learn English, they can maintain Spanish, we'll bend over backwards to accommodate them. They can set up their own little communities. They can set up their own states, ultimately. They can make Spanish the national language for Arizona, if that's what they care to do. Or maybe California, or wherever, or various counties or cities or whatever. You know, Russia has this. Immigrants, people want to immigrate, fine, but they just said, look, you need to learn Russian. You want to come into our culture, you need to learn our language, insofar as we allow immigrants to come in here and use their native language, and we accommodate them. We draft forms here. Let me, you know, what do you want, English or Spanish? All right, on the telephones. And do you want forms? What language do you want this form in? We are not working in the best interest of the American people, because we're allowing another culture to move in and making it as convenient as possible for them to maintain their culture within the context of our country. The reason they're coming here, the reason anyone wants to come here, is that at least historically, we've had a culture that was conducive to prosperity. And it's not something to say, well, all you come on up here from some culture where all you do, the most they can do is generate wooden wagon wheels. That's high tech. But we have to respect their culture, and we have to, you know, it's stupid. Their culture will cause your life expectancy to fall by 5 or 10 years compared to the life expectancy you might otherwise enjoy under the culture, the system of values that has been here in the United States. We're being told, oh, you don't have to respect your own system of values. I'm saying you got to respect your own system of values. It made you prosperous at one point, and it extended your life expectancy dramatically, at least up until one point. And it's when we get into this nonsense, this insanity, well, wow, we can just grab onto another culture. And we'll respect that while they dance around their hat or some damn thing. That culture is going to get you into poverty. That culture is going to make you poor. That culture will contribute to a relatively early demise. That's why they're leaving their country, because their culture, their values won't produce. They're coming to this country. They don't understand it. It's about the values. And you're not going to pick those values up by maintaining your own culture, by maintaining your native tongue. Let's take a break for some commercials, and I'll be back with Melody on Financial Survival in just a moment. Please stay tuned.
make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. When we stopped for commercials, I had been reading from an article in the Washington Times entitled Donald Trump at Texas Border Warns of Tremendous Danger from Illegal Immigrants. Now, he caught some, and we pointed out that he caught some flack when he arrived. There were Hispanics down there that were chanting and posting signs in Spanish to tell him, you know, buzz off. And the article continues, says, for his part, Mr. Trump didn't back down on his warnings about the border. There's great danger in the illegals. We have a tremendous danger on the border with the illegals coming in. That's Trump. The local Border Patrol labor union that had planned to host Mr. Trump backed out on Thursday, saying he had blown the event out of proportion. Mr. Trump said the agents had originally invited him because of the tremendous problem and tremendous crime, but at the last moment said they couldn't get involved. What a proud moment for the Border Patrol. Somebody's coming down to defend what the job they're supposed to be doing. And Trump says, I heard they got orders from Washington, meaning orders from Washington to not have Trump in the... not allow Trump to appear at their lunch and dinner or whatever it was. But the Border Patrol caved. And they are not going to provide a forum for the one man in the United States is talking about stopping illegal aliens. Trump declined to say what he would do about the 11 million illegal immigrants already in the U.S., saying there would be time to talk about that after the border is secure, telling us that Mr. Trump, he wants to build a wall, all right, or some sort of a device, some sort of a barrier that's going to prevent illegal aliens from sneaking into this country. That's the first order of business, and he's right, because otherwise we had that situation with lady was killed, young woman, 32 years old, walking with her dad, killed in San Francisco 10 days ago, thereabouts. She's killed by an illegal alien. She's been thrown out of the country four times. He came back in for the fifth. It isn't going to do any good to catch illegal aliens and throw them back across the river if all they have to do is come, turn around, walk down the river 100 yards, turn around, come back in. There needs to be a barrier first and foremost, and then we'll figure out what we're going to do with the 11 million illegals who are already here, if that's all there are. Here's something from the Washington Examiners, and they're responding to Trump. This is their email, and one of them says, anything Mr. Trump does here from here on to upset the lying, spineless, corrupt establishment Republicans and turning their apple cart upside down has my full support. I don't know how serious the man is about becoming president or if he's the answer, but the GOP is no better than left-wing Democrats they were sent to oppose. I hope he stays the course, and he's got a point. This is what's driving this. You know, the Republicans talk this talk, but they don't deliver crap, and it was the same thing when George Bush was in office, and the Republican power was so dominant. All right, they controlled the House, the Senate, and the White House at the same time. One of the things they could have done, they had the power to put an end to abortion. Did they do it? No. Why? Because the abortion issue has fueled the Republican Party for a couple of decades. And people who are anti-abortion work for the Republican Party, because they think the Republican Party is going to help them. But the truth is, when they had the power to do something, they didn't do anything. They talked the talk in order to entice people to support them, the Republican Party, but in the end, they aren't really doing much to help the people. They're doing a lot to help special interests who push money in their pockets, but they're not helping the ordinary people. And that's what this guy, incredulous, he signs off as incredulous. That's what he's talking about. Here's another one. It's interesting to see an American big man frightening liberal devotees of our weak, girly man president. Another comment. Now, third one. I will vote for Trump no matter who the Republicans nominate. Neither party does the bidding of the voters who sent them to Washington and are not likely to begin doing so in 2016. And here's the last one I'm going to bring to your attention. It says, Trump is showing that it is possible to tell the truth consistently as you see it and survive in politics. And he's right. All right? Most of these people talked about it in the last day or two. Most of the people in politics are, they have learned through bitter experience that there's some things you just don't say if you want to get elected. Because you want to say things about illegal aliens. You want to say things about abortion. You want to say things about any number of subjects. They know that what will happen is if you speak out on a particular subject, there are people who are supporting that subject, and they'll vote against you no matter what. All right? And so if you dare to say the truth on a particular subject, guess what? You've just lost a big chunk of the vote. So what you do is you learn to say nothing while you're speaking. You learn to just smile and wave your hand at the crowd like Miss Alabama in the Miss World contest or the Miss USA contest. It becomes just a beauty contest. Who is going to be our next congressman? Who is going to be our next president, our next senator? It's a beauty contest. It has nothing to do. There is no evaluation of character. There's no evaluation, real evaluation of intelligence. It's just who's the prettiest candidate. What, Melody?
Well, you want to know if Trump is telling the truth, or is he letting these sound bites allowing him to get all the press? I mean, you know, it is, you know, I mean, none of them are what they seem. So you just have to, you know, is he all about truth, or is this his way to stay ahead in the polls because he's getting all the press because he's saying these things? Now, we believe, you know, it is part of the truth, but is he actually telling the truth to tell the truth, or is he telling the truth to get the media to get a showing? Or is it a combination of both?
It's one of those questions that no one can ever answer. But here's the point. Insofar, I don't know what his motives are. I'm not here to argue that Mr. Trump should be, he is a saint. All right? And he's due, if he doesn't get the presidency, he should at least be canonized.
No.
That's not my argument.
No, I get that.
I'm not gonna argue that the man is just the most moral individual we've ever seen, but he is at least speaking out on what appears to be the truth. And whether it's his truth necessarily, what he's talking about is, in many instances, my truth. Right? He's saying what I want to hear, and he's doing it in a way that is attracting attention, and a lot of other people are saying, yeah, you go. All right? Where was I going with this? I had another comment. Oh, the point is we have a Trump effect taking place. And I don't care whether Trump is a carnival barker. All right? He is having an effect on the political system in that by telling the truth himself, he's forcing these politicians that have learned over years, don't say that, don't say that, don't say that. They automatically just shut down, won't say anything controversial. He's forcing them to take a position. And I like that. I may not like the position they take, but he's putting them in a position where they can't just BS their way through it in another beauty contest. And will he continue to do that? Will he continue to have that effect for the next, I don't know, 15, 16 months? I don't know. But he's having that effect right now. And from my perspective, I'm sitting back and saying, yeah, yeah, I like it. All right. Here's another one from the Pew polling organization. GOP favorability has plunged to a six-year low since January. The favorability rating of the Republican Party is at its lowest level in 6 years. A new Pew Research Center poll found that Republicans and Democrats were both at 41% favorable just 6 months ago. And now the GOP is down to 32%. The Democrat Party is at 48%. Democratic Party is gaining favorability. Republicans are losing it. It says Republicans in particular were found to be more critical of their own party. It's not the Democrats that are turning their backs to the Republicans. It's the Republicans. And when they say their own party, that's the question. Is the Republican Party really the party of the rank and file Republicans in this country? They talk the talk, I'll give you that. But aren't they actually doing what's best for the special interest, doing what's best for multinational corporations? When was the last time the Republicans really went to the wall to do what's best for the American people? Has anybody seen that happen lately? I'd like to know about it. I'd like to know about it because it's something I have missed, overlooked, whatever. And this goes back to the readers who are writing to the Examiner, and they're saying, look, I'm voting for Trump because he's doing this, that, and other. They're fed up. We the people see the racket that's taken place in Washington, D.C. We are not as dumb as a lot of people suspect. The problem is we had no place to turn. You're either a Republican or a Democrat. Where else are you going to go? Well, Trump is changing that. He's saying there's an opportunity here, and you can speak the truth, and maybe you can get something done. And here's another one. Cruz. This is Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz. The headline is, Cruz, Iran deal would make top Democrats financiers of Islamic terrorism. In an interview with the Washington Examiner, Texas Republican Senator Ted Cruz said that if the Iran nuclear deal goes through, over $100 billion could flow on to radical jihadists as a result of sanctions relief. If this deal goes through, President Obama, Hillary Clinton, John Kerry will become the leading global financiers of radical Islamic terrorism. Now, I'm not going to argue that Trump's characterization of these people as the leading global financiers of radical Islamic terrorism is correct. But I am going to suggest that Cruz is coming out and he's saying, hey, he's making what are either extraordinarily truthful statements or extraordinarily outrageous statements, but in doing so, he is perhaps another consequence of Donald Trump's candidacy. He's another evidence of the Trump effect. If you want to compete in this national election, you had better have something to say. All right? And not just, here's a picture of my mom and my dog and my wife and the two kids. You're going to have to come up with something better if you want to be elected. You're going to have to take this election seriously. You're going to have to take a stand, and you're going to know that you are going to have, if you want to get elected by a majority, you are going to have to figure on antagonizing a significant minority, and I don't mean in the minority, I mean a political minority. I'm not talking about race or racial, although that'll probably feed into it. But you're going to have to take, you're going to have to stand up. Cruz is being forced to do, he's doing it, and I'm speculating that maybe this is a consequence of Trump standing up. I'm just saying, yay, hooray for Mr. Trump. All right? I may change my mind, but at the moment, hey, you know, he's the best we got at the moment.
I never thought I would go Trump. If you would have asked me, I'd be, you know, liking Donald Trump 10 years ago. We do have a caller. I think we missed him. I don't know if he's still there. We have Wayne from Texas. We only have a few minutes left of the program, Wayne.
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right.
What you got for us, Wayne? Yeah.
Hey, I know time's short here, so I'll condense it up. And I wanted to ask you a question about these sanctuary cities. When you have city officials that steal money from the till or sell influence, that's a felony, and they're probably going to the big house. But under this sanctuary city deal, they're all committing felonies by aiding and abetting illegal aliens under Title 8, I believe it is. So what's the legal principle at work here where they are somehow Teflon-coated and no one goes after them for this obvious breaking the law?
Well, because the prosecuting attorney in the city is not going to act against the city to prosecute city members for behaving in a criminal matter in this regard. But that doesn't mean that the public's hands are completely tied. For example, those of you who can understand RICO suits, Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organization Act suits, it's possible to sue on your own without even having an attorney. It's not easy. I'm not going to argue it's easy, but what these cities need to see, if they won't enforce the law, they think they're like Barack Obama, don't need to enforce the law, step up with a lawsuit. If you've been injured by an illegal alien, the government of your city is complicit in that injury. They allowed the illegal alien to cause that injury. If you're
what about
sure
criminal
you've been,
complaints?
Criminal complaints, you're going to have to run them past the grand jury. The grand jury can indict a ham sandwich, or the prosecuting attorney, they'll brag that they can indict a ham sandwich, and they can probably also, it follows that if they can indict a ham sandwich, they can also prevent a serial killer from being indicted. If the prosecutor's not going along with the program, so you don't go through, from my perspective, you don't go through the city mechanism, that's already biased against you. Sue them for $100 million, all right? Let the cities, let these sanctuary cities face a couple of $100 million lawsuits, and maybe you'll only collect $50,000. But let them face a couple of $100 million lawsuits, and all of a sudden somebody's going to say, you know, we don't need those illegal aliens as much as I thought we did. It's costing us a fortune to defend them, so let's move them on someplace else. Wayne, we're out of time. I want to thank you for your call. We'll talk to you another time. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and we'll be back on Monday. Have a good weekend, ladies and gentlemen. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank the producer, and Wayne from Texas. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.